Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Saturday to all of you. We got a full house. That's right. Forrest is here. Mia's here.
Hi.
Producer Casey's here.
Good morning.
I'm Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Hey, thank you for joining us today as we're streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you are new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is simply about having fun. We talk about the past week, and we hopefully make you laugh a little bit along the way.
That's right. Laughing at all the things we experience in everyday life. The embarrassing things, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things we're afraid of talking about, but damn it, we still do.
Hey, you know, the things that connect us all, the ones that make us human. And some people have been known to say that laughter is the best medicine.
For example, Craig Shoemaker. He says that all the time. And of course, all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are part of the show and join the conversation. You can do that several ways.
How? What are these ways that we can do that? Tell me.
God. I don't know what these two are doing.
Show me the way. Show me, Sean.
Well, you can comment on each of our episodes on our website. Not your website, our website.
Ah.
Yourweeklydose.com.
Ah, now I get it. You know, there's this thing called Twitter and Instagram. You can also go there to message us.
No shit.
Yourweeklydose1.
Oh, come on over here and say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or you can just email us, yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
That's right. Well, we've got a full show for you guys today. We're going to be doing some catching up. We got movies with Paul Preston. We're going to be talking about top dog breeds, the 27th Club, because today is the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
My partner here came up with that idea. Mm-hmm. Good job, buddy. We'll also be talking about the most richest female singers, red flags for wedding jitters. We got a new sponsor later on. And Forrest, we're going to check out his goodies later on.
Yeah, you are. Hey, not a lot of people know this, but you can also download past shows for free from our website,
Christ.
yourweeklydose.com. All right. You can also subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search Your Weekly Dose and tell the world. Tell them. Please rate and review the show as well. All right. Thank you.
Oh my God, the voice! I was like,
for a moment there, I was like, "Where's he going?"
Yeah. I was like, "What is
That's
he?"
That's pretty cool. Well, today's theme song was "Fever Dog" by the famous band, or actually, almost famous band, Stillwater. Ha! See what I did there?
Yeah.
Which came from the movie Almost Famous,
mm-hmm.
And of course, we gave some quotes from that. Which the song was actually written by Ann Wilson, who was married to Cameron Crowe,
mm-hmm.
at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't care. She's still a damn good-looking lady.
You heart her?
Oh, I heart her big time. Yeah, I want to heart her every day, every night. She's still a good-looking lady, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
She really is, and a hell of a guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what it is. So go pick up that soundtrack. which is the Almost Famous soundtrack. And unfortunately, you can't really find all the songs that Stillwater did, because when they first came out, though, they did have a special CD,
yeah,
and it was all the Stillwater songs on there. So yeah. I think Fever Dog is on the regular soundtrack, though.
Okay.
So just go to our main sponsor, which is Amazon. That's where we buy stuff, you know, and get all of our things on online when we want to do our own shopping. So all we do is we go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner and bookmark it, because that way when we want to go back and shop again, it's easier to do. And every time we shop, we get pennies on the dollar, literally. And that helps keep the show on for the next 6 years. So this is done.
We've got a lot of music talk today.
We do.
Yeah.
We absolutely do. Yeah. No kidding, man. So many things going on.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, though, because we got to do this. Let's catch up, because we got a lot to catch up on right now. Because we had an interesting morning. All right. So the first thing I'm going to start with catching up with.
Yes, please
is
do.
Is that... I think it was yesterday or the other day, Nia texts me and says, hey, you know, we're doing, you know, more shooting on my project. I won't get done until 6 o'clock in the morning. When I'm done, can I come over straight to your house and sleep on the couch and catch up some rest?
Yes.
That gives her 3 hours worth of rest. So, you know, because normally we're here at 9, mm-hmm. show starts at 10, you know, and we kind of go from there. I'm like, absolutely, of course. You know, I'll make sure I leave the door open. So I then decide to go ahead, and my alarm goes off at 6 o'clock. I get out of bed. I go downstairs. I make sure that the door is unlocked, and our screen door is slid open, because it's one of those, like, it's...
It's a weird one.
Well, it's spring-loaded, but you pull it from each side, from the left and the right, and bring it to the center.
Oh, okay.
So, and you know, redheads have a hard time dealing with it. So I make sure it's open, so that way all she has to do is... you know,
yes,
turn the handle on the door,
correct,
or whatever, and walk in, and the couch is right there, and fall asleep. So, got up, unlocked it, did what I need to do, went back to bed. Hmm. About, you know, 6:30 rolls around or whatever, car pulls up, Karen tells me, oh, I think Nia's here.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm still in bed.
Mm-hmm.
I could have sworn I heard her slowly walk in and hear the door or whatever.
Recognize the footsteps.
Great. And I kind of walk over to Roman or whatever to kind of let him know, hey, Nia's here, you know,
yep,
just quiet and maybe get dressed too. You don't walk downstairs in your underwear. And so he's like, oh, okay. So nobody's gone downstairs yet.
Yeah. It's Nia.
It's Nia. We want to make sure she gets her rest.
Right.
You know, I get up about maybe 7:30 or so, come in here into the studio, start getting things ready for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And... our neighbor then contacts us. Hey, there's a car out in front of your house, and there's somebody sleeping in it. What the hell is Nia doing in her car? What? I told her the door is going to be unlocked.
Right.
Did I not say that in the text? Let me look back. No, I told her. She said, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
So you went downstairs to check?
No, I'm just like...
okay.
I'm just like, okay, whatever. And now our neighbor... is now noticing that this girl is sleeping in her car, and we're kind of like, okay, thanks, Linda. Let us know, you know, neighborhood watch.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Next door app.
And then later on, you know, now it's almost coming up the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
I just figured, okay, maybe she just fell asleep at, you know, let her sleep.
Right.
You know, Linda's still calling us, our neighbor.
How many times did Linda call?
Quite a few. And then Karen goes, oh, wait. Nia just pulled up. Wait a minute. I then go look on the stairs. Nobody is laying on the couch.
Okay.
Nia just pulled up. So now I go look at the cars. Wait a minute. That's not Nia's car. That's Casey's car.
Casey's sleeping in the
parking
lot.
Casey's sleeping out in front of our house. Poor thing. You know, and I've always told the girls, too, when they have a shoot like this, They are more than welcome to come over and crash at the house. You know, especially on a shoot like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just come over. I'll leave the door open kind of thing and just come in and fall asleep wherever. So now Casey's out there. Didn't realize that. Nia walks in and we're like, you know what? Let Casey sleep a bit more. Yeah. You know, poor thing. Because, yeah, she's. So, good morning to you.
But what were these footsteps you heard?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just it. I have no idea.
Stolen, right?
I have no idea.
All right.
But now Casey then finds out that she lost her keys in her car.
Well, I know they're in the car.
Right.
It's not really. Yeah, they're not lost. I know where exactly
they
are.
Well, except that they're lost in the car.
It's kind of. She's in denial, I think.
Because she now cannot lock her car. Nor can she find the keys to her car.
To be fair, we were both. Well, you were running off of less sleep than I was, since you had like an hour. I had 6 hours of sleep before going to the shoot at 1 a.m. And I even like I went up and I like knocked on Casey's door. She's like, "I'll be there in a sec." And I just like closed the door.
My alarm was going off in 5 more minutes.
It was the pre-alarm.
She opens the door and I've got like. Meditative sleep music's going in the background.
She has her zen.
Did. I was cozy.
Nice.
Climate controlled.
Yeah.
It was like in a little pod, you know?
Here's the part that I love the most when we were discussing this morning, is that Nia goes out to check on Casey.
Yeah.
It's 5 minutes before Casey's alarm goes off, and Casey just kind of, how did you look up at her again?
I don't know. I don't even remember barely opening my eyes. I remember her
I'll
being
be
there.
I'll be there in a bit, I think is what
yeah.
you said.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
She had this little smile. She's like, I'll be there in a bit.
5 more minutes, Mom.
Yeah. go away now.
And then I just like shut the door.
Go away, little girl. I'll be there in a bit.
Yep.
We need to let Linda know to solve the mystery for Linda.
Yeah.
Tell Linda?
Yeah, because when Nia pulled up, Linda called again to let us know. You know. And, you know, thank God, I mean, in all seriousness, though, for that Linda was paying attention because you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, Linda's perspective or whatever of, hey, there's this person who pulled up.
Right.
I think there's, are they dead? I don't know. They're not moving. We don't know. Should I call the cops? Should I not call the cops? Whatever.
They're honestly squatting on your land.
How Casey was sleeping there? Because when I pulled up, I thought the Prius was on. And I was, like, looking in the front
seat. It was on.
I didn't see her. I was like, I don't think I see her in the back. Like, the back are kind of tinted. Like, she was just buried. And so I just, I assume that she's inside. I go inside. Casey's not inside. I'm like, I go back out. I, like, look through. I'm like, oh, okay, Casey is back here. And then I open the door, and then it's like.
And that's how our morning started.
Yep.
And she's right. I was buried. I had a blanket. And I had a hood over, like, just my eyes enough. So, I mean, the only piece of me that was visible to her was probably, like, my mouth.
Just
to
breathe.
Even then, I could not tell that you were sleeping in the back. I was like, is the car just on? Did she just leave her car on?
Yeah.
Is she inside?
Is it going to drive away by itself? Hello, Michael. You know, I mean, what's going on here?
I don't even know.
Oh, so that's how our morning started. So,
yep.
But overall, how was your week, Nia?
Yeah, it was good. really busy. You know, film industry is like my life. But it's actually so two kind of major, not really. Well, I don't know, major, but so two kind of anniversaries have happened. So one, I moved here a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Two. Now I'm officially working in the film industry full time without any side jobs.
Yay!
So, yeah, I
know. We have. What are we? Which one is it? Which one should I do? Is it
fanfare? Do fanfare.
Celebrate.
Oh, that one. That one works.
Full time.
I know fanfare. Yeah. Fanfare is really short though, isn't it? No, 5 seconds.
There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I mean, right now I'm on. Like 5 projects, and so,
which is good.
Yeah, no, it's really I really like the projects that I'm on, and it's really cool to have like different things. You know, it keeps me busy. But
very good.
Yeah, so it's been cool.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice. And Casey, how about you? How was your week?
It was pretty good. I've been busy too, actually. I'm in pre-production for another project that I signed on for,
mm-hmm.
And that'll start.
Fancy line producer.
Yeah. Ooh. Pre-production line producer. And then I swap over to production sound mixer. Yeah. For production.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I fell into that one, too, because she was talking to me about sound production. And she was like, yeah, you know, I'm just looking for someone who's got, like, movie magic budget. And then I'll be able to have someone, like, set the budget together. And I can tell you, like, what we can offer you within the wage range. And I was like, oh, I have that software. She was like, would you also like that job, too?
How much does it pay? Wait a minute. Let me adjust it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I was like, I'll set my schedule. I'll set the budget.
I'll take care of it.
And nice. It got approved.
Yeah, budget got approved. But because of the, there's been, you know, just new information that's come on to the production. So I have to kind of reconfigure some of the numbers and move things around. Mm-hmm. Should be interesting, but I think it's going to be a fun time.
Cool.
It sounds like it's going to be pretty good, and it's got a pretty decent budget. We're working with $100,000.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yep. When we're already financed.
That's good, though.
Very good.
Yeah. So we don't have to do any more fundraising with it.
That's super nice.
So I'm excited to get it going, but we got like 4 weeks to wait, so good prep time, and I'm going to be up in my audio equipment.
Yeah, you are.
Woo! Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are. Very cool.
Nice.
How was your week, partner?
It was
good. You were gone last week.
I was gone last week. Some of you might have noticed I wasn't here last week. I was.
Yeah, you look younger today. By the way, just to let you know.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wisconsin has those restorative powers.
Oh, when you,
it's all the oil and the cheese. They just rub it all over their skin.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, cheese bath.
Cheese bath.
Ooh.
But not cheese head.
Cheese bath.
Yeah, and I've brought some things back from the land of
Dairyland.
And yeah, share you got some tastes of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of, you know, recovered during the week, one might say. And then went to my son's football game last night. He made his varsity premiere, and they won.
Ooh.
42-9, they beat Gar High. So he played linebacker, and it was fun to see him out there, and it was a good week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I forgot, what did you go to Wisconsin for? I can't remember.
My parents live out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so we go and visit. It was also my brother's 50th birthday, so we celebrated that. We saw my folks. We rode around on the lake on a boat a little bit. And,
nice.
And yeah.
Did a little fishing? Yeah. Or?
A little bit of fishing. It was pretty slow, but you know.
Well, we got to slow down the boat patrolling, you know.
Yeah, but... But yeah, didn't catch much. We caught and released.
What was in the lake?
It's a lot of panfish, like bluegill and bluegill, perch, some walleye. But just depends what you're fishing with, what kind of size fish you're gonna go for.
Yeah. Any catfish or anything? Or?
No, I know nothing like that.
Nothing like that.
Yeah, yeah. But
those suckers will put up a fight. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
You get a nice size one. You know, mm-hmm. It's like ooh.
Yeah, yeah. We just go for the easier. Just. You know, you have a beer open and you just go for some bluegill. Slow it down a little bit. We're not going crazy.
No sharks.
No.
No.
Yeah. No, no
Especially
sharks.
In the fresh water. Yeah.
Hey, you'd be surprised.
The bull shark can go in fresh water.
Yeah, exactly.
But not for long.
I guess it just depends on how far into the river it goes. It's got to go back.
Yeah, these are all landlocked lakes, so I'd like to see the bull shark get in there somehow. You know,
it flooded at one point, I'm sure.
Maybe. Yeah.
We'll see.
It wouldn't be the first time that I think that there's been quite a few occasions where it's been flooding and then they found
a way.
Like other mammals that are, or well, I guess other species that have made their way in and then they're now in the lake.
Life finds a way.
It does sometimes, yeah. It does. I know.
Survival of the fittest.
I know somebody did do it, like a fake one, though, where they were talking about where a shark was, like, one of the hurricanes or whatever, and where a shark was, like, supposedly swimming through...
The canal.
No, not the canal. It was, like, downtown, whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're like, no, yeah, that's fake, because that ain't going to happen or whatever. But it looked pretty real, though.
Right?
It looked pretty real.
I think I saw a sci-fi movie about that, where they come out of the tornado, then... There's like five or six of them, right? Was that based on a true story?
Yes, it was.
Sharknado?
Sharknado, yeah. And I think there's three documentaries on that.
Is there?
I think so. Maybe four. I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure on it, though. So, but yeah.
Is Casey doing research?
Yeah.
I did it.
It's bugging her.
Yeah.
Well, how about yourself? How was your week?
It was interesting because, you know, I'm back in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So teaching. And some of these kids are awesome.
Some.
There was one where...
Childcare. I mean, it's...
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. It really is. But there's some where, like, I subbed in for some other teachers, and there was one where I gave her praise because I don't know how in the heck she did this one class, you know. And I think I briefly talked about it last week. Like, there was one kid who was just kicking the pedals on the piano. This one cute little Asian girl goes, "I know how that goes. It goes like this," and would show us or whatever. Mm-hmm. The other one goes, "I'm not too sure if I'm hitting the notes right," you know, kind of a thing. Uh-huh. I mean, it was just so many different levels in the same room.
Yeah.
And I finally saw that teacher yesterday, and I said, "Oh, are you Miss Carrie?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "God bless you, woman. You're a saint." I said, "All the other classes," I understood. I was able to handle no problem. But those 5 to 7 year olds.
Yeah.
Boy, did I have a bottle of vodka after that one.
Wow.
You know, and she was laughing. But overall, it was really good. Had a good week with the students and everything. I took over for one teacher who's leaving. And then there's another one where they're switching teachers. So they're bringing me over some other guy's students just because of the way my methodology and the way that I teach.
Hmm.
So they're starting to fill my schedule up. Now we've just got to fill the rest of it up. So, which is pretty good. But tonight, though, tonight.
I've heard you've got something in big.
Dude, I'm so excited. 2 years on the waiting list for this thing because we were supposed to go 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to the concert tonight at SoFi where it is Joan Jett.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, Joan Jett's opening.
Is it Joan Jett and the Blackhearts or just, is it just?
I think it's Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Okay. I mean, she always, I think, builds herself like that, though.
Okay.
And of course, you know, the Blackhearts always rotate. So it's her. Then I believe it's Poison. After that.
Nice. You know,
Bad Boys at the Sunset Strip. And then I think it's, I don't know, because I've heard they've been switching back and forth. But then supposedly it's supposed to be Motley Crue.
Mm.
And then Def Leppard.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. I've seen all four in concert before, you know. But this will be the first time seeing all four of them like this.
That's cool.
Know, in a row. And I just can't wait. The person who's taking me is, she's kind of like my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
She's also more like a sister to me more than anything else, though. Her parents and my parents have known each other since the early 60s, basically. They were something called the CYO, which stood for the Catholic Youth Organization. And it was a club for young Catholics to go out and have parties and stuff like that. And so it was stuff that they did in the 60s and early 70s. And so they've known each other for many, many years. And Michelle and I are a year apart, basically. I'm a year older than her. And she is, she works for, I can't remember the name of the wine company now. But she works for a big wine company up in Modesto. Now,
okay.
And so she's in charge of all of the new products that come out for the years and everything. So she's in charge of all of that.
Nice.
So when she got the tickets, though, for tonight, when she got them 2 years ago, she basically got the VIP stuff.
Ooh.
For Def Leppard Pass.
So, do you know what that includes?
No, but I understand there is merchandise involved.
Wow.
And so we got to be there between 2:30 and 3:30 in the afternoon. And then I don't know what the VIP also entails.
Oh, cool.
I'm kind of excited.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to just be up in the nosebleeds kind of squinting at the stage
I think we're going to be down on the floor somewhere.
That's cool.
I think. I'm not too sure. But yeah, I'm pretty excited though.
Nice.
The whole thing.
Nice.
The only thing I'm worried about though is that I've been seeing a lot of reviews lately of the shows, you know, and everybody's been doing great except for one group.
Okay.
And unfortunately, it's Motley Crue.
Really?
Yeah. They say they haven't been putting on the best show.
Oh.
So I'm kind of going, okay, let's.
You'll check it out for yourself.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I want to do something a little bit better than that, than just check it out. You know, and I think I want to ask the crystal ball.
Okay.
How the show is going to go tonight, basically. You know, because what better person than to find out about certain things, you know, and ask certain things than the crystal ball, right?
Fair.
Correct.
So, okay. So here we go. So. Crystal ball, will all the performers do well tonight at the SoFi concert?
I have answer is unclear.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Try again. Okay. All right. Okay.
There'll be a lot of smoke maybe, on the
maybe,
stage.
Well, maybe it wants me to be a little bit more specific.
Oh, okay. Maybe that. Maybe
a little
that.
Bit more specific. Okay. So, let's see. A crystal ball. Will Joan Jett give a good performance tonight?
Yes.
Well, okay. Yes. All right. Well, that's pretty simple. I mean, it's Joan Jett. You can't go wrong with Joan Jett, right?
Fair enough, yeah.
Okay. All right. Crystal ball. Will Poison put on a great show as always?
Now is not the right time.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll ask
okay.
it again.
Circle back.
It's not sure because you know Bret Michaels. He does. He is diabetic, so you never know with his diabetes, sure. his blood sugar, whatever. Sure. So I can understand
that. That's what the crystal ball's yeah. taking into account.
Exactly. So okay. So let's go to the big main headliner. Crystal ball. Will Def Leppard put on a good show tonight?
Wow.
Okay.
A lot of unknowns.
So, yeah, a lot of unknowns here. So now we got to go back to find out with Motley Crue then.
Okay.
Because that might be the deciding factor here.
Okay.
In the whole thing.
Okay.
All right. So, crystal ball, will Motley Crue put on a good show tonight at SoFi Stadium?
Definitely yes.
Okay, well, that's
all
good.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Good
then.
Sign. Good sign.
That's a great sign because the reviews I've been reading have not been that great.
They're probably saving it for the big venue in the big city, the newest stadium.
Well, it's their hometown,
you know,
also.
Right? It's a lot of factors to
yeah,
bring.
Yeah, a lot
it,
of factors bring it.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I mean, look at Joan Jett's from L.A., Poison, L.A.,
yep,
Motley Crue, L.A. Then you got the foreigners.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So okay,
diversity.
Yeah. So exactly. Okay. So now we know how they're going to be.
Yeah.
So let's go back. Let's ask. Okay, Crystal Ball, will Poison put on a good show tonight?
Without hesitation, yes.
Oh, great. Okay.
You hesitated earlier, Crystal Ball.
Yeah. Well, he said ask later.
Okay.
So we did.
True. Okay.
So we did.
All right. Fair enough.
It's without hesitation.
Okay. Now.
Now we know exactly.
You're in for a great show.
So I think so. So the last one now is to ask Crystal Ball, will Def Leppard put on a good show tonight?
Yes.
Well, there we go.
Wow, there he came around.
Now we got
yes and unknowns. That's all.
Well, you know, he's got to look at the future and see what's going on there, the crystal ball, you know. So now we know that I will be seeing a damn good concert.
Yes, it confirmed.
It confirmed it by the crystal ball.
Correct.
And whatever the crystal ball says, that's what happens.
Yes.
As we all know and everything. So a crystal ball, Will I be sitting on the floor for tonight's concert?
No.
Okay, I just want to know.
You'll have a chair.
I'll have a chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Crystal Ball, will I be sitting in a chair on the floor?
See, be more specific.
At SoFi.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
unless
yeah.
you're drunk. See?
Well, now we know.
Being specific.
You're right. And that is, now you get it. You get the crystal ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
You absolutely get the
crystal ball. There's a connection
between you two. Yeah.
Apparently, there's a bond there.
Yes. You may be on the floor at the end of the night.
I think I will be on the floor at the end of the night. Absolutely. But there we go. So, so I'll be going to the concert, and apparently, every act. We'll be putting on a great show tonight. So I'm really looking forward to it, man.
Wow. That's really cool. That's a good lineup.
It's a great lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm surprised. In all seriousness, too, because, you know, Mick Mars, the guitarist for Motley Crue, you know, he has that disease where his bones are fusing together.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. And so, you know, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, to see how he does or whatever, because he can't move. He can play.
Right.
He's like Herman Munster.
Maybe it's like the showmanship is a little bit pulled back because of,
I think
you
so.
Know.
Yeah.
But hey, if they sound good.
I think so.
That's great.
And that's all that matters, too, you know, because like I said, I was reading some of the reviews, and they were saying everybody else is doing fine but Motley Crue. So I was kind of, they were saying that Vince Neil's, his voice was a little off and not singing as good. Huh. But, you know, the overall show was pretty good, but his singing was kind of like, you know, not the best. You know, kind of like, I guess, what Bon Jovi's going through, too, right now.
Oh, you mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah. You know? And God, I haven't seen that an awful lot too with him. And I've heard some of the concert footages, like that he's been having, you know, doing whatever.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, nuts.
Oh no.
Oh, I can sing his stuff better right now.
Wow.
And that's not saying a lot.
Oh no.
So.
Well, age, you know. Age and just reps, they've been touring so long, like it's going to catch up with you at some point, right?
That, and I don't know what he's not doing, because, I mean, even 10 years ago, I mean, his singing was still pretty spot on.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's done in the last 10, where he is, I mean, all the vocal coaches that are noticing it online and everything, that, you know, that they do their, you know, vocal things, you know, what have you. A lot of them, and I'm not talking, you know, I'm talking like 8, 9, 10, 12, are all saying the same thing.
Really?
And they go, we're not, you know, bashing John. We feel for the guy, but he is majorly straining right now.
Oh, no.
So, you know, where he's almost just talking the words sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's not good.
No. No.
That's not good at all. So, especially, I mean, when you hear him 10 years ago, even, and hit those notes and hit him hard, hit him strong.
Yeah.
And it's 10 years later going, ooh.
Something. And I suppose that style of rock has to be harder on the vocal cords than like a Tony Bennett crooning
it's
a classic. Is that?
I don't know, because you know what? In my opinion, I mean, I've heard. I mean, well, take a look at like somebody like Paul Rogers or Tom Jones.
Mm-hmm.
They're older.
Yeah.
You know, and they're still. I mean, their voices are still powerful.
Mm.
So I think it's whatever John is doing in his personal life.
Ah.
You know, it has to have an effect on it.
Okay.
Because he has taken voice lessons before and everything to help correct it prior and everything. So
we'll send him some chamomile tea from the...
That and honey and
honey, lemon and
whatever. And, you know dude,
throat coat.
Start using your diaphragm again.
There you go.
That's going to be the main thing. So, oh, hey, I know that music. Oh, yes. This music gets my juices flowing, because that only means that the man on the other side of the phone, the sexiest man in Burbank, is none other than Paul Preston!
Hey-o!
My.
He's got some lungs.
He does.
At least someone does.
You got an epic hey-o.
Yeah. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, first of all, can I be heard okay? Because I am talking on my phone kind of took a crap, and so I'm on headphones. But hopefully it's not bad.
No, you're coming in loud and clear, dude.
Yeah, super clear.
Good, because I got to tell you all about this great Sharknado documentary I saw.
Do it.
What shall we discuss?
Oh, let's talk about what we went
weekly
to.
Dose?
Let's talk about what we went to first.
Yeah. Well, you talk about seeing a great show tonight. We saw a great show last week. There's a great show happening every night in Southern California. So now that the world has returned, I mean, get out there and enjoy this stuff. And we went to The Empire Strikes Back in concert.
Ooh,
yeah. Now, these things sometimes tour, but I think in L.A. you're going to see more opportunities to see great movies in concert more than anywhere else. And what that means is, they show the film, but they've pulled the score out of the audio mix, and the score is played live on stage. They do it at the Bowl all the time with the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra or the LA Phil. Here, this was the Pacific Symphony Orchestra, I believe, and they played the score of Empire Strikes Back live while you watched the movie on a big screen above them. It's pretty incredible.
It was fascinating, and you know, I've never seen it done like this before. It was my first time. And so Paul had an extra ticket. We went, and it was so cool. I mean, it was nice to be among the nerds again. You know, it was so awesome. And they passed out, the City of Hope also sponsored the event, and they passed out these miniature lightsabers for everybody. They changed different colors.
Aww.
And it was so funny, because there were certain parts through the whole thing, like when Darth Vader comes up, you know, for the first time, and you hear the Imperial March. And everybody turned their lightsabers to red. And it was kind of like being in high school. Like everybody does the alma mater, and you put the two fingers forward.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, they're all waving the lightsabers.
Wow.
Yeah, there was no discussion about this. The nerds just
intuitively,
mentally.
Intuitively knew?
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
And then, you know, where we were sitting, we were kind of in the middle. So I looked to my left, and all I see is a wave of red. you know, just going back and forth. I look to my right, it's a wave of red going back and forth. It was awesome.
And anytime Yoda did something, everybody put it on green.
Yeah. And then when the fight came cool. with Luke and Vader, the majority of people put it on blue. There were a few people who put it on red.
You picked a side.
Yeah, you picked a side. There it is. Yeah. There's the little lightsaber.
Wow.
So
awesome.
It was really cool. And I can't thank Paul enough for taking me to go see this thing. And it was so nice to see the film and then to hear the orchestra. You know, and there's times where the balance was really good and you forgot the orchestra was there.
Really?
Yeah. And then
you that's the thing. By the end of
it
these, you will
colors.
Somewhere halfway through, you'll realize, oh, that's right. This music is live, and it has been for the last hour. And then by the time it's over, you'll go, they didn't miss a note or a cue. You know, like they did it all perfectly. And this happens all the time. And it's super impressive considering, you know, sometimes I don't know how long some of these classical pieces are, but to play this orchestral music to cues perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, I'm always super impressed. So and, that Pacific Symphony Orchestra is great.
And they started from, you know, the 20th Century Fox intro.
Oh, wow.
From that point all the way to the end of the credits, they played all the way through.
Well, that's cool.
So it was just absolutely amazing. I think the only complaint Paul and I have, though, about about 5 points, okay, because this is now down and in the and Paul, I confirmed it. It is the actual old El Toro Air Base.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, there were plenty of sort of weird abandoned.
Kind of looks like one of those. You know what I'm talking about?
You mean like the things that people, that the airplane people use?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hangers?
No. Like.
No, she's talking about the lightsaber.
Yeah, the lightsaber looks like.
Oh, right.
Things.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Five planes crashed during the concert because they saw what we were doing.
Right?
Went
I know.
In the direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the biggest complaint that Paul and I had was that they've got food there. They've got drinks there. There are some food trucks.
Yeah.
Now, what I was surprised by this, though, was that we actually had an intermission.
Hmm. At what point did they break the movie up for the intermission?
That's fun. Every time I go to one of these, I try and predict it. I thought it would be, there is another.
Mm.
But it wasn't. It was before that. When did exactly they do it?
I know when they restarted the film, it was one of my favorite scenes that I missed, which is where you get to see all the bounty hunters.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, this was just before that.
Yeah. But the thing was that it's intermission.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of the food trucks, all of the 5 points, their own food stuff, like the pizzas and certain wines, were all closed at intermission.
Oh.
This doesn't make sense. Mm. You have people coming out to get food, and, oh, I'm sorry, we're closed as we're walking to their line.
Yeah, pretty dumb. But how do they make it up to us? We didn't pay to park, which I was amazed.
Yeah.
Considering thousands of people descended on that place.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah,
first time there. Overall, I give it a thumbs up for that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a cool venue, and it's not too huge. You still kind of can have some kind of intimacy with the movie and the orchestra without being – I feel like, God bless you, going to SoFi, you can't be further away from an artist than when you're there.
Right.
Except sounds like your tickets are different, but if you have a bad seat at SoFi, it's just – you might as well be in the parking lot.
Or watch the video at home.
Yeah.
And let's not – skip over the movie. All right, Empire Strikes Back.
Ah.
I mean, this is risky storytelling, meeting excellent filmmaking, still kind of hanging on to the 70s vibe that made Star Wars great before, you know, Return of the Jedi and 80s goofiness set in where, you know, Sarlacc's burp and Chewbacca's Tarzan yell. I mean, this was like a real awesome. Yeah, this is just a great movie. And it's Han Solo's coming out party. As a guy who hosts a podcast called The Ford Fiesta, where we're looking at every Harrison Ford movie that he's ever made.
Wow.
By 80, you don't know he's a movie star. He's still an ensemble guy, and the films where he was the lead, Hanover Street, Force 10 from Navarone, is this guy going to be what the potential shows as Han Solo being such a great character? And, of course, right after Empire is Raiders of the Lost Ark and off to the races. Yeah, and he's the man from that. He's like, what summer movie is Harrison Ford putting out this year? Yeah. I'm going for the next 20 years.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, I agree with Paul here. You know, Empire, I think it's when people talk about Star Wars, they talk about what is their favorite favorite movie, you know, segment of it.
Installment of
Empire is like right on top because it's like, what is going to happen with these characters? What, you know, it is that middle chapter, you know, in a three act play of everybody's in the worst situation, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is written very well to tell that story, to continue the story and everything. But it, I got to say, though, knowing what we know now, it really made it funny with certain scenes, though. So, like, towards the beginning, after Luke gets rescued from the Wampa by Han, and he's back and he's you know, in the infirmary or whatever, there's the argument that happens between Leia and Han. And the scene where, you know, she goes, well, I guess you still don't know anything about women. And she goes over and kisses Luke. It's really interesting to hear about 15,000 people go,
the benefit of hindsight, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's really funny to watch. And then you hear everybody laugh afterwards.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, they laugh at themselves making cringy sounds.
Yeah, because we all know that they're brother and sister, you know. But overall, you know, that movie, it still holds up to this day, though.
It
really does. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It still holds up. Because other movies from 1980 that take place in 1980 don't. But because this one had some other world to it, you know, it's just like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Watch like another 19, watch On Golden Pond. You'd be like, whoa, what is this hair and costumes all about? Yeah, it was accurate to the time, but Raiders takes place in 1930, so it will forever look amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, they had the best filmmakers of the time. After Star Wars, Lucas could go get anybody he wanted. And they had great players. Of course, we did have to watch the special edition, which I'm never thrilled about, but there are fewer. You know, awful choices made in the Empire Special Edition than some of the others. Yeah. So, but and they changed it again. Like he keeps tinkering. When the first Special Edition came out, when Luke finds out or is told that Vader is his father, he seemingly steps off the platform he's on to basically kill himself. They went and added in a Special Edition Luke going, ah, as he falls down the shaft. Now, if he's falling, it seems like he slipped. You know, it's like, well, you've changed the intention of what Luke is doing. Just to add some sort of echoey, ah, like, that, you forgot that? Like, you missed that? Like, yeah, that's an awful choice. It's now gone. It wasn't in the version we saw. So he's just, the guy's constantly tinkering with his movie. So, but what we're left with really is mostly just, like, extra Wampa footage. And so it could be worse. That it could be worse. It could be that entire song in Jabba's palace, which is speaking of cringy.
Yeah, I mean, he could have had like the Wampa say, "Well, that's not going to heal well," you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be worse than you could have been watching the Star Wars Holiday Special live to music
with live orchestra accompaniment.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. Oh my God, I might make that happen. I'm going to have to put my producer hat on. What a great idea.
Yeah. But, Paul, thank you again for taking me to that, man. That was just fantastic. I had a great time doing
that. Yeah, it was in your neck of the woods. So,
yeah.
I mean,
and
why not?
In all seriousness, for anybody out there listening, you know, even in our affiliates, you know, if you get a chance to see something like that, go to it. You know, it is a wonderful, wonderful experience to hear an orchestra live play the score to you know, some of these great films. And, you know, they've done E.T., they've done Back to the Future, they've done Close Encounters, they've done so many other ones. Notice there's a theme here of John Williams.
Well, the Hollywood Bowl just did Amadeus. They've done 2001 in the past. They always do a Harry Potter movie, it seems like, every year. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. So, go.
Oh, and Nightmare Before Christmas. And they bring, and here in L.A., they bring out, like, Catherine O'Hara,
Paul Rubens, yeah,
and Danny Elfman to sing, too. So,
yeah. So, cool. definitely take advantage of that.
Nice.
So, all right, Paul, what else we got, buddy, real quick?
I saw a film. Well, first of all, I saw Elvis, the recent Baz Luhrmann take on the King of Rock and Roll. Oh, not so good. Not good. I mean, Austin Butler is amazing as Elvis, but you got to filter through all of whatever the hell Baz Luhrmann is doing as director of this movie to see how good Austin Butler is. You know, there's hip hop music in it, you know, like Luhrmann has this penchant for putting modern music in his movies. But, you know, in Moulin Rouge, I get it was a choice. It was how the movie worked. In Great Gatsby, I went, well, this is against the time period. And now putting hip-hop in, you know, with
Got it.
The king of rock and roll in the era when rock and roll is at its height. It just makes no sense.
Got it.
It's an intriguing choice to tell the story through Colonel Tom Parker's eyes, as opposed to like doing musical biopic outline number one with here he's born and here he discovers rock and roll and here he discovers this and here he signs his first contract, whatever. You know, they kind of do a different take on the narrative, but man, Baz Luhrmann is annoying. he can't leave alone the editing, the special effects and the sweeping camera. I mean, like, I always thought he did his dancers in Injustice and Moulin Rouge with the overcutting of their dance sequences. But here, there's even no reason to cut around, and he's doing it all crazy. So that's a shame. Elvis deserves better.
The actor that plays Elvis, I was looking at something the other day with Mark Thompson, and Mark was saying that he feels that actor might win an Oscar.
What
do you
think? If he gets nominated, I wouldn't be shocked. He's excellent. Especially because he's such an icon, and you could just kind of float through the movie doing an impersonation, but he actually, you know, handles the emotions and the situations and the pain.
Right.
And of course, you got to gyrate and put on the show like Elvis would. There's a whole sequence of Elvis versus the censors that I didn't even know existed. I always thought Elvis was kind of a passive superstar. You know, he didn't write a lot of songs. And I thought he was told where to go and what to do. But there's a sequence where if he's on TV and he shakes his stuff, there could be an arrest made. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that actually did happen, yeah.
Yeah, and he kind of goes, screw it. I'm doing my thing. And I'm like, yes. Well, Luhrmann, cut the shit and let's watch that. But instead, you know, there's a bunch of nonsense in there. That's the best sequence in the film, I think. And, man, was Colonel Tom Parker just an overwhelming piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised, too, seeing Austin Butler cast as this, because he's, like, a Disney kid. Like, I watched him on TV growing up, and then I was like, him? Like, he got cast as Elvis? Like, it was just so random to me. I was like, this Disney kid?
Wow.
Is that where he came from?
Yeah.
I saw him in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He played Tex, if you remember, out on the Manson Ranch.
Yeah, that's right. Guy. Mm.
And he ends up being with the trio of people who bust in the house at the end.
Yeah.
And he's good in that, but I'm like, holding a whole film, but he absolutely does. It's just a shame, again, that he's saddled with this nonsense of Luhrmann's.
With this film, I know a lot of people are comparing it to Kurt Russell's version that was done in the early 70s. I don't know if have you ever seen that one?
So long ago, I couldn't even compare it. You know, there's a lot of movies I saw when I was a kid that need a rewatch. You know, from Network and Chinatown right on to stuff like that. You know, I watched more Dexter Riley movies, I think, than Russell as Elvis.
Yeah, so I was
Dexter Riley. Anybody? No Dexter.
No Dexter Riley here.
The computer wore tennis shoes. The strongest man in the world. Yeah, Dexter Riley. Now you see him. Now you don't. Anyway, the Disney years of legend Kurt Russell are special.
But I was looking at like I was like I wanted to see what movies and stuff he's been in, because I was like, I swear I've seen him in a ton of stuff. But yeah, he's been in like Disney's Wizards of Waverly Place, which was back in like 2007 to 2012, and like Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure, which is like a high school musical thing, and Switched at Birth and Nickelodeon shows, and he was on Zoe 101, which is another like Nickelodeon thing, and The Carrie Diaries, which was like a spinoff of Sex
in the City.
Yeah. And so he's been in some like,
so he's been transitioning into more adult roles.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so he's been in the industry.
So this is a good transition for him overall.
Yeah.
Paul, we got about 2 minutes left, buddy. What else do we got?
Well, first of all, let me just say that anybody, you know, could go way south. They could go the Lindsay Lohan route, you know, as a Disney child. Like, so good on Butler for being more of a Ryan Gosling coming out of all that and making a career. So I needed to cleanse the palate. The next day I went to see a movie called Emily the Criminal. And this is an indie film starring Aubrey Plaza. She's working at a food delivery service. She's an artist, but doesn't get much time to pursue it. She's kind of mired in student loan debt, timely, and kind of works the gig economy, which is never like a positive situation to be in. You know, the bosses can screw you because you're an independent contractor. And based on a friend's recommendation, she attends a meeting, and this will just set up the whole movie, and hopefully you'll want to see it after I just explain this. She attends a meeting based on a friend's recommendation where a guy says, you could make $200 in the next hour. You'll have to do something illegal, but you don't have to hurt anyone, and you will not get hurt. Who's in? And turns out it's buying something with a stolen credit card, and you know, no doubt the items that the people in this room buy, these guys are going to resell and make some money. But she starts getting used to the money she's making running on these little things. She gets roped into buying bigger and bigger items. Next thing you know, she's the title of the film, Emily the Criminal. But this is a fantastic movie. Not just because you're watching the frustration of somebody trying to do the right thing and losing their ability to do it because of the system. You know, there's a moment where she chews out someone offering her an unpaid internship, and it's a cheer moment. It's like a stand up and cheer.
Right.
But this is the tightest script of the year. Things build, things make sense one scene to the next, and there is no fat. And I had to look up the dude who did it. His name is John Patton Ford. He's made a short film and this, and it is highly impressive. Nice. That this is his second thing and his first feature. And no doubt Aubrey Plaza saw this and said, oh, because she's a producer on it. She probably went, I'll be a producer, but I got to be in it. And she's fantastic. She's got some vulnerability here that I don't see her have much. It always seems like she's kind of putting on a performance.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's good to hear.
Yeah, so that she's very good here.
Oh, nice.
I'm urged to compare it to something like Better Call Saul because it's efficiency and it's deliberateness. But it's made a little different. You know, his handheld camera, the slightly more kinetic style of filmmaking, not Baz Luhrmann, thank God. But, you know, he's a little more energetic in the way he makes film. But there's surprise after surprise. And what, you know, the guys at South Park always said that this is how they write their show. It's not this happens, then this happens, then this happens, then this happens. It's this happens, therefore this happens, therefore this happens, therefore this happens. And that's how this plays out. You know, one scene happens, it leads to the next that, oh, because this just happened, I wonder what now. Oh, this now. Okay, and we didn't have to wait to the end of the movie for that. So what now? And this now, you know? And
yeah.
By the time you get to the end, you're like, ah! And there's a great finale. There's real danger in the movie. The director's not making any bad calls. You know, it's serving movie fans. It's a real movie. I would go check it out. One of the best of the year.
Awesome, brother.
Nice.
Awesome, 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 awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this lightsaber. I've been playing with it for like most of the time you've been on the phone.
Hey, I can't make the crew show because I'm going to see Raiders of the Lost Ark for like the 40th time tonight on the big screen in Hollywood. But Can I ask a question of the crystal ball?
Yeah, let me
just before I leave, I want to ask a question.
Let me turn it on.
All right,
let me turn it on here real quick.
Because I've two big properties are returning.
Uh huh.
House of the Dragon came back, and I enjoy it. It's high drama. It's not quite as funny as the Tyrion Lannister, but it is something. It's a big universe. It's a big swing, and I enjoyed it. So I have to ask the crystal ball, will The Lord of the Rings of Power, be any good? Oof.
Definitely not.
Oh! Ow! Crushed.
Ouch.
I know, the first time that thing has said like a hard no.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Paul, I don't know if you saw it. A new trailer came out for it yesterday or the day before, and I thought it looked good.
You know.
I did, yeah. I checked that out, and I got tickets to see the first two episodes this Wednesday on the big screen, which will definitely help it for me because I'm more. I mean, if you take those two fantasy properties, I'm more of a Game of Thrones guy than Lord of the Rings. So hopefully, this helps it. Well, big screen helps it out for me.
Paul, let's ask it a different way. Maybe because you asked it, will this be a good film? I think maybe you should ask it, will I enjoy the film?
Oh, okay. I would like to know that.
Okay.
So. Crystal Ball, will I enjoy The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power?
Definitely yes.
Okay. So the film's going to suck, but you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
wow.
All that matters.
What's that say about me? I haven't really...
No I one's going to take my opinion standard. Seriously.
Yeah. So at least now you know, Paul.
Ah, well, so anyway, I'll just be watching She-Hulk if you need me.
Fair enough.
All right, brother, we will catch you next time, my friend.
Farewell, your weekly dose gang. Bye-bye.
We'll do. Take care, Paul.
I dropped it.
I'm taking this away from you.
Yay! I got it back.
I share Paul's disdain for Baz Luhrmann.
Really?
Yeah. Don't want to go on offline. He said it all.
Yeah.
Yes, I just want to second it.
You know, with those, I've been kind of hesitant about going to go see that Elvis film because I know there's so many things that are wrong as far as factual things. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, and like for a quick example, when he does the 68 comeback special, tickets were given to Colonel Parker to give away to bring in the crowd. Well, he wanted to sabotage that whole thing and make sure it failed. So he basically threw away all the tickets. So when it came time to filming, they're like, well, where's the audience? And I don't know if Colonel Parker showed up or not or whatever. And we're like, well, we don't have an audience. So I think either the director or somebody, whatever, went across the street from the studio,
mm-hmm.
went to the Bob's Big Boy and announced in the Bob's Big Boy, we're shooting an episode with Elvis. We're shooting a TV special with Elvis. Any of those of you who want to come and be a part of it, come now.
Oh.
I bet the whole place went.
And they walked a number of kids and a few adults or whatever over to go see Elvis. Now, when you look at the actual footage itself, Elvis is on the stage, that square, small squared stage, mm-hmm. surrounded by, you know, the girls and the guys or whatever. If you notice in the background, it's all dark.
Mm-hmm.
That's because those sitting around him, that's all they got.
Oh.
So they had to cut the lighting in the background.
Wow.
But yet in the film, it makes it look
like it's a packed house.
It's a packed house.
But they just had a few patrons of Bob's Big Boy.
Right. And that was it. You know, and like, that would have been interesting to tell that story.
Yeah.
That part of it.
That would be a great scene.
Yeah. And,
right?
You know, to show how big of a dick Colonel Parker really was with Elvis.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's stuff like that, you know, that I'm like, okay, I understand because you want to tell the story and that or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least tell it a little bit more accurate.
Sure.
Than that.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a big success for him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because Elvis put his foot down, you know, with Colonel Parker, said, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the special my way, because Parker wanted it to be a Christmas special because of when it was going to be aired.
Oh.
And Elvis said, no, we're going to do something completely different.
OK.
So and then he went on then to do the album after that, which was Elvis from Memphis, I think is what it is,
mm-hmm.
which was his biggest, one of his biggest successful records as a whole,
mm-hmm.
and the last one that he recorded in Memphis. So, because when he first started with Sun Records, you know, it was in Memphis, and this was the first time he did it since then, because in between he did all the movies elsewhere. So, but nice. Yeah. You are just having way too much fun with that, aren't you?
I've already dropped it like 3 times.
Yeah.
What's funny is that I basically accidentally threw it to Forrest. Like,
without telling me, catch?
At your foot. Like,
fetch.
Wow. I know.
You want me to just fetch it, huh?
Literally.
All right, you guys. Okay.
I'm just going to.
Speaking of fetch.
Speaking of fetch. Absolutely. Speaking of fetch.
Oh, yeah. Good segue, man.
Swing that up. Yesterday and today basically was National Dog Day, meaning we're talking about, you know, the best breeds of the dogs, you know, that are out there and everything. And that's what we want to give you is the best dog breeds for kids or families.
Mm.
And we're going to go from 10 down to number 1 here. So number 10 is the Bulldog. So this is pretty good. It's devoted. It's a patient pup that's sure to act affectionately towards the kids. The Bulldog is your go-to breed for this. The Bulldog has a sturdy build that is perfect for kids. However, he won't win any awards for the most energetic type of dog.
Oh, they sleep a lot, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But great with kids, though.
You got to do a trade-off sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Number 9 is my favorite cartoon dog, Snoopy, the Beagle. The Beagle's small size means they can always be carried. They have a calm temperament, and they're a great choice for families.
Yeah.
Next one is the Bull Terrier, unfairly branded as an aggressive animal because the way it looks. But the Bull Terrier was actually bred to be a companion dog, friendly and loving towards adults and kids alike.
Number 7's Newfoundland. Is that I'm saying that right?
Yeah,
right?
Or Newfoundland.
Newfoundland, nicknamed Nature's Babysitter.
Aww.
Interesting. One of the most intelligent breeds in the world. They love children and are very protective
of them. Is that Cocoa Melon?
What are you playing?
creepy child voice in the background.
Yeah, thanks so much. Okay. The Newfoundland is a very big dog, though.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Happy, happy dog. My babysitting dub has stopped, but apparently the songs have not. You're a happy, happy dog.
Barks all day. Sometimes you find the most interesting things as a producer. It fits the show. It fits the show so well. So, okay. This next one is called Devisla. While the breed isn't exactly a common household name, mostly due to their need for regular exercise, there's actually one of the best dog breeds for active and energetic families with older kids.
Hey, at number 5, known for their red coat, the Irish Setter, playful and energetic, loves being around people and plays well with children. The Irish Setter loves being with the family so much they hate to be alone.
Yeah.
They're on their best behavior when with loved ones.
Now, this one I thought was kind of interesting, but the poodle is at number 4. Now, besides their often distinctive haircuts, because French people are weird, it also happens to be a very smart and gentle dog. Proud and elegant, this dog breed is both caring and loyal and seldom annoyed or bored. Now, poodles, the cool thing about poodles, though, is that they're available both in miniature and standard sizes, meaning that you can choose a specific poodle size that best matches your living environment. And they're great with kids with allergies because they shed very little. I didn't know that one. That's
pretty
cool.
I didn't. And number 3, I had one of these as a kid, the Labrador Retriever.
Aww.
One of the most popular dog breeds. Playful, patient, loving, protective, reliable. Labs are highly intelligent and take well to training. This is true.
And speaking of the Labrador, too, sometimes you'll get a mix between number 3 and number 4 and get a Labrapoodle.
A Labrapoodle.
You know,
yeah,
and that's a good mix also, yeah.
It's called a Labradoodle.
Or Labradoodle?
Yeah.
Oh, I was close.
And poodles are actually hypoallergenic, too.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, number two, Golden Retriever, of course, is a confident. That's number 2. Smart, confident, smart, kind, and loyal dog. Neither aggressive nor timid, the Golden Retriever is extremely patient, which makes them a perfect match for kids.
And number 1, I wouldn't have guessed it, but it is. Any guesses? Mutts!
Yeah.
While your family might be considering only purebred dogs, don't count out mixed breeds. Mixed breeds provide the best traits of the great breeds, all the great breeds, in one dog. When you adopt a mixed breed dog, you're saving the lives of 2 dogs. Does that math add up? The dog you adopt and the dog you've now made space for.
You know, I kind of agree with that because my dog was that I had for 13 years. He was half German Shepherd and half Malamute.
Hmm.
And I would totally agree.
German Mute.
Yeah, a German Mute. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And he was a great dog. He would follow my mom. At the time, our washing machine and our dryer were in 2 separate areas. Our washing machine was right outside the back door, but the dryer was inside the garage itself. So we would have to open the garage door. My mom would come out, take out the clothes, and he would follow her and escort her to the garage door. And wait there. He wouldn't go in, but just wait there. And then when she'd bring in the clothes that were dry, he escorted her back and waited till the light shut off before he went back to lay down.
He's a purebred good boy.
Good boy.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He was a great dog. God
loves a terrier.
Yes, he does. God loves a terrier. That's because small, sturdy, bright, and true. They give their love to you. God didn't miss a stitch. Be a dog or be a bitch. When he made the Norwich merrier with its cute little derriere. Yes, God loves a terrier.
You, David.
If you have not seen Best in Show, oh my God, you gotta go see that. So damn good.
Funny.
Very funny movie. And of course, anything that
Christopher Guest
does
is
just so awesome.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So good.
Yeah.
I loved Mighty Wind.
Oh, yeah. Waiting for Guffman's great.
Waiting for Guffman. Oh. And of course, you got to watch with Spinal Tap too.
Oh, of course, it all starts with Spinal Tap.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And Princess Bride.
Oh yes, yeah. He played a part in that. I don't think did he write?
Yeah, no. But he played
the villain.
The villain, the six-fingered man.
Six-fingered man. Yes, he did.
Yeah. So very, very funny actor.
Yes, he is.
And married to a very sexy woman. You know who he's married to?
Yeah, Jamie Lee.
Ah,
the babysitter, the Halloween babysitter.
Ah, Did you see a picture of her recently that she just did?
I did not.
Oh, my God. It's this sheer, see-through blouse that she wore, whatever. But, of course, she's covering up her breasts.
Uh-huh.
But you can obviously see that it's sheer.
Uh-huh.
And she has her hairstyle almost done like her mom. And it's the only time that she really looks like her mom, Janet Leigh.
Janet Leigh.
And, God, she still looks sexy at 63. Okay. Oh, my God.
And I hear they're putting out one last Halloween.
Yeah.
It's funny. I never thought she was a very attractive woman.
Really?
I don't even. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look her up.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Especially what's the spy one that she did with Schwarzenegger?
True Lies.
True Lies. God, that whole scene where she's dancing.
That was kind of her iconic moment there besides Halloween, I think, like the when she had to strip
well,
down
she was
and
in,
all that.
She was in Trading Places, too. And
I just mean, like, I don't know, maybe highest on the radar is True Lies.
I know
Lies
my dad liked
Halloween.
It. That's for damn sure.
Yeah? Yeah, a lot of dads dad, probably were watching that.
Yeah, my dad really liked it. Like, son, you got to come and watch this.
Oh, I had the opposite. It was like, leave the room. Oh, okay.
I'll be busy. I'll be busy for a moment.
Well, I didn't say that. I just said leave the room. Jeez Louise.
Well, today is also the 27th, and you, yes. partner, had a really good idea and talked about certain things. So why don't you go ahead and
well, yeah, 27 it. Made me think of the 27 Club that that was I only became aware about in the 90s when Kurt Cobain took his life. And there's a club of famous musicians and other artists that have passed in 27. So Sean printed out for us a list of some notable ones, and there was way more than I thought. I mean, this
so did I. It blew me away.
Dozens and dozens of people, because I guess statistically it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But to this many big-time singers, you know. So one of the first ones we noticed that was notable in 1938 was Robert Johnson, the blues singer that met the devil at the crossroads, did
That's
he not?
That's right, yeah.
And I wonder if that started all this out off, you know.
It could be. It could. You never know with these you know things and these legends or whatever, because with Robert Johnson, it's like he was a horrible guitar player.
Was he?
And then he goes away for a while. Comes back and he's doing stuff that nobody has ever seen before.
Right. So where was he?
They don't know.
They don't know.
They don't
so
know.
So that started off a big slew of them later on in the 60s. Brian Jones of Rolling Stones, a founder.
Yeah.
The coroner reports he was death by misadventure was what it said on the coroner report.
Really?
Death by misadventure. Which is, I mean, that's a better way to go out than some of these other ways to go out.
That's true. I wouldn't mind having a misadventure.
But it looked...
Just a regular adventure.
Just
even.
Any adventure.
Any adventure.
Jimi Hendrix, 1970, and not like a couple weeks later, Janis Joplin, 1970, just a month apart, less than a month apart.
Yeah, and then, Cuban. Of course, when did Jim pass away?
About a year later.
And that's why those are the three most famous ones,
yeah.
Because they were so close together.
All within about a year, Hendrix, Joplin, and Morrison... Here we hear the Doors going on.
Yeah.
You had mentioned Pete Ham from Badfinger, which I did not know. But,
yeah, neither did I.
Yeah. And then we didn't know, or I didn't know, Basquiat, Jean-Michel Basquiat, the artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, you see his art being, like, commercialized nowadays. It's always on T-shirts and stuff.
Right.
But in 1988, he passed away at 27, a painter and graffiti artist.
Wow.
And then a big one in back in 94, Kurt Cobain. We know from Nirvana. You been a Nirvana fan?
Nirvana was one of those where I knew things were going to change because of the style of music. And it, at that time, the type of music that I was playing was more of that Poison and Warrant mm-hmm. and whatever. So it was against everything that we were doing at the time. And I go, yeah, things aren't going to be the same anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took me a while. I did really like the first album, though. Mm-hmm. I thought it was definitely remarkable.
Yeah.
It was a different way of doing things. But I do love the way Weird Al portrayed them.
Yeah.
Because I still couldn't understand what the hell Kurt
right.
was saying.
Right. And then every band was copying that, you know,
right.
like mumbling their lyrics and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. That is yeah. interesting. It's hard to have an anthem like Poison and Motley Crue do when you're mumbling the lyrics, you know.
When everything that they're singing is clear.
Correct. Right. Yeah.
You know.
So.
But looking back on it now or whatever, no, I have a great respect for what they did at the time. It was definitely a switch. And still with what Dave Grohl's done with the Foo Fighters. So,
Really enjoy it. And then as Casey has us playing right here, Amy Winehouse in 2011 passed away far too soon, in my opinion. I loved her music. Her talent was great.
I had problems with her as a person. I don't know what it was. It just that bothered me, and I could never put my finger on what it was.
I mean,
but as a singer,
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
amazing.
The documentary about her life is pretty sad, and talking about being managed by somebody that doesn't care about you and just being.
Well, she had her own Colonel Parker, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, but just love her voice. We talked about Anton Yelchin, the actor from Star Trek, who died under tragic circumstances. And
his own car actually crushed him.
Yeah, down one of those slanted driveways.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
painful.
How he passed.
And bringing it back.
Always set your e-brake.
For real.
Yeah.
Find your keys, Casey.
Because the transmission is not a kickstand.
Yeah. And bringing it back full circle, Elvis Presley's grandson.
Really?
Benjamin Keough. I think I'm saying that right. A son of Lisa Marie. Passed away in 2020.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So the list keeps going, unfortunately, but it's an interesting phenomenon, the 27 Club.
Well, I'm glad I'm not in it.
Yes. We made it past.
Yes.
Good luck, Nia.
Thanks.
One of the few fun things about getting older.
I know. I'm like...
messing with young people.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm used to kind of being the youngest in the room and wherever I am.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting, though, because, you know, you see certain musicians who pass away at certain ages, you know, and a buddy of the program, Christian James Hand, talks about it doesn't matter how they died or whatever. Well, it does, but what I'm trying to get at is that when they do pass away, that's like the last image that you will ever see about them.
Yeah.
You know, so when you think about John Lennon, you know, the first image that comes to mind is him wearing the New York shirt.
The glasses. The circular glasses. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and forever, that is our last vision of them as time goes
it's
on.
It's like that painting of the cafe. Have you seen the cafe at night? And they're all sitting in the lonely cafe together.
Yeah.
And
they're all
in their sort of iconic, you know, Elvis is next to Marilyn Monroe, and they're all James Dean is
Bogart
there.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. They're forever going to be
in that moment.
Yep.
Though, that's what we see them.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's really interesting. It's really interesting when you have something like that, you know. It's just weird.
And you're
it's
seeing
weird.
Some musicians tonight that made it past that mark. Are you?
Thank God they
did. So
yeah.
It's good to see them all tonight then.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and they've gone through their own troubles too and everything, you know, every single one of them. Because, I mean, good Lord. I mean, I remember hearing stories of Def Leppard and they wanted to see how many bottles they went through of alcohol.
Oh.
And so while they were doing Hysteria, which is their biggest album. The guys talk about how, okay, in this room we had a pile of vodka bottles. In this room we had a pile of gin. In this room we had a pile of tequila bottles, you know. And they were as tall as they were, you know, to see how much, bless you, my dear, to see how much alcohol they could go through.
So they're like a fraternity.
Yeah, yeah. But they made it through, thank God.
Yes.
But let's flip the side now and go to the females. Female singers of the industry, though. The richest ranked. I want to mainly do the top 10, but I want to kind of go. Some of these really surprised me. That I thought that they were worth a lot more, and they're not. So let's start off with Lady Gaga and Mariah Carey. Their net worth right now is $320 million.
Wow.
Together?
No.
Individually.
Okay.
Wow.
Individually.
You're like, why did you...
I was like,
They both tied at 320. Katy Perry's at 330.
Oh, really?
Cher, I was surprised at, is at only 360 million.
Only.
I thought she would have more.
Poor girl.
This one is a weird... Barbara Streisand, Jennifer Lopez, Shania Twain, and Taylor Swift are all at 400 million.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah. And again, I thought Barbara would have more. You know, I thought she would be higher than that. Excuse me. For everybody else, I go, yeah, that kind of makes sense, you know. Actually, I thought J-Lo might be worth a little bit more, though, too. Victoria Beckham did very well for herself, I think, because, you know, she was in with the Spice Girls. She did Posh Spice.
Yeah, what she's been earning since then.
Well, but she's at 450 million.
Like fashion, maybe?
I don't know.
Yeah?
I know, you, like, perked up. You're like, what?
I was like, have I been missing some number one singles by Posh Spice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gloria Estefan, Beyonce were at 500 million. Rihanna was only 50 million more, so 550. We're listening to Dolly Parton. I thought she would be a lot more, but I know she's done some investments with Dollywood or whatever, but even with the income of that and everything, I thought she would be a little bit higher. But Dolly's at 600 million.
That's still a lot.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Celine Dion, though, I think she did very well for herself. I think she probably put away some of that money, which is why she's at 800 million.
Is that American or Canadian?
Oh, wait a minute. Let me move the decimal.
You got it. Yeah, you got to convert here. Come
sorry,
on.
She dropped down to 12 now.
Okay.
Okay. Who do you think is number one?
I have no idea. You've named so many of the big hitters.
Yeah.
Nia?
Yeah, you've named a lot of people.
Could it be Christina Aguilera?
Really?
Do you think it's Faith Hill?
Oh, he's asking.
How about Janet Jackson?
No.
Tina Turner?
Maybe.
Britney Spears, maybe?
Maybe.
Diana Ross?
Maybe.
Nope. None of them.
Who is it?
Madonna.
Oh.
Okay, yeah.
She was huge for a long, long time.
$850 million.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. You still hear her everywhere. Yeah.
Material Girls all over everywhere.
For sure.
I mean, because of Stranger Things, but.
And just, yeah, she has a lot of hits that still play all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, but her own label plus the other artists that she's got, you know, on her label and everything. Sure. So she's getting all that. So.
Madonna.
Yeah. So there you go.
Material Girl.
Yeah.
Hey guys.
Exactly. So
I brought some things to share with you from Wisconsin. Now I don't know if you know what a cheese curd is.
Oh yes, I do.
You do, right? Oh. They've started to come out west a little bit, but for a while you could only find them like in certain places. But
yeah, and they're delicious when they're fried too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're deep fried sometimes. Oh yeah. So there's some fresh cheese curds of the yellow variety. The white one are garlic dill.
Okay.
And then there's beef sticks in there as well, which is just like, I think you get the picture what a beef stick is. It's a stick of beef. So
is this your stick of beef here?
Hey, I cut those up, so no.
Oh.
But help yourself, and we have even a table here. I don't know if you can dine and while we talk about other stuff too.
Right,
but
here we go. We'll pass it around.
I mean, we can multitask.
You could, right?
Oh my gosh, you brought a little board?
I did.
That
I even
is
brought
so
a board.
Wisconsin.
You know, we take it seriously.
Whoa, what?
Here.
So good.
This cheese looks.
Oh my gosh, holy cow, dude. What else did you bring?
So this is one with some heat because Casey said she mentioned how she likes, you know, spicy foods and stuff. So this is a spicy cheese
right.
I brought. So we're gonna cut up some of that as well.
First time having Wisconsin cheese.
Yeah?
Okay.
I think.
You think?
I'm a Wisconsin right. person.
So, okay, partner. So this one here is the garlic one?
That's garlic dill, yeah.
That's garlic?
Yeah.
Garlic dill.
Yes, garlic dill.
And it's delicious.
You like it?
Be nice.
Mmm. That is different.
Yeah, I mean, the curds, I guess so they make cheeses in a big vat, and then the curds are what's left at the bottom. So they're like little nuggets that they kind of scoop up and just package like that.
Oh.
So all this was like a cheese that they like put into blocks, and then what was left, they just curd it up.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I don't know who named it that.
Curd it up.
I just made that up. But, you know, so I think
Wisconsin
we have.
And I must say, my partner.
Yes.
Your meat stick tastes pretty damn good.
Does it?
It does.
Good. Good.
Delicious meat stick.
I'm glad you like it. I brought it for you.
Yeah. I just took a little off the tip, though, here.
God.
I won't add to that. Do you like spicy cheese?
I don't want to eat too much cheese because stomach.
Sure. This is called scorpion cheddar cheese.
Oh, I really want some.
Okay, good. So let's pass one down to Casey. Scorpion.
Get the bigger one. What are you talking about?
You know, Scorpions were a big German rock band. Sean, I don't know if you like the Scorpions, but
I do.
Of Germans in Wisconsin, so probably a big.
Really?
A big, you know. Oh, yeah, like myself included.
I'm German.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's hot. Oh, shit, that's hot.
I like that.
You
going to
try a little piece?
Wow.
No?
I'm scared now.
that little bitty one?
Oh my gosh. I'll try tiny. I love mac and cheese.
Oh god, give me this other one quick.
Oh my gosh, yeah, no, it's like one bite and it's like, woo, hello. Casey is chilling though.
And do you see the sticker on the package?
Hot pepper warning.
Yep. Warning says warning on the cheese.
Oh, my God.
So they weren't kidding.
Wow.
Yeah, one bite, and I'm like, woo, hello.
Holy cow. Okay.
So that's a taste of Wisconsin, you all. And all we're missing are big pitchers of beer.
I know. I want one of those meat sticks now, though.
Yeah. Help yourself.
Meat stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Ew. Oh, wow.
Milk is being brought into the studio.
Oh, my God. It is hot. Wow. Holy cow.
Oh, Karen just heard you from downstairs and went, cheese.
Well, Karen's going to love it.
That's good. Yeah, try that. It's called scorpion cheese because it bites you.
Very spicy.
It stings you.
It really does.
These are milder, like
curds. All right, we got the milk. We got
can
the
I have
ice
a beef?
Cream. We could use some more yogurt.
Thank
butter.
What are you finding this on right now?
I am a master at keyword search.
You really are. You find the most random stuff sometimes. It's so funny.
Wow.
Some cheese is blue, yellow too. Swiss and cheddar in fondue. I like a chunky.
This is Wisconsin's theme song, yes?
It is. The kids sing it every morning in school. Yeah.
Instead of the national anthem.
Yeah, instead of it. Yeah.
Chunky chunk or cheese. If you should run into a room for blue that's covered in mold. Brie is boss, cream cheese is soft. I spread it on a bagel or roll. Munster too, Parmesan for you. Shredded slice or grated true. I like a chunky chunk.
He likes a chunky chunk. We like a healthy chunk.
This guy's a hotel room. One room has cheddar, the other room has blue cheese. And he goes room to room eating all the cheeses instead of vodka and
that's
and
what gin. I probably do.
So the Santa Claus but cheese.
Yes.
Yeah, I probably do the same thing.
Swiss and cheddar in fondue. I like a chunky chunk or cheese.
Oh my gosh, wow. Yeah, that thing is still hot. Holy cow.
Oh, really? It's gone.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, it's gone.
Casey's fine.
Yeah. Well, my wife's going to be fine, too. She's used to that. I mean, she drinks Tapatio on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, my gosh, wow.
Well, okay, well, I hope it doesn't knock you out for tonight, okay?
I don't think so.
Okay, good, because I think you were excited about that concert, and I want you to have a good time, not get knocked out by the cheese here.
I'll have a good time. I'll definitely have a good time.
Casey's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, she wants the garlic one.
I do. Are you excited?
We really have had a very good like food spread this morning.
Yeah, we have.
Just like, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, I'm definitely excited about the concert tonight. I mean, this will actually be my second concert, you know, since COVID started.
What was the first one?
Maroon 5.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul took me, but...
Real desperate times.
Yeah, it was really... I've never seen them. I figured, what the hell? You know, it was free.
So this time around, are you taking Paul? Are you taking your son or what?
No.
You mentioned...
My sister's kind of taking me here.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, so nice. my son's going to be here.
Wait. So what if you wanted to go... the cheese. What if you couldn't go, but your son wanted to go?
Well, I mean, I'd let him go, you know, but I'd be a little bit concerned because of the crowd overall, because I don't think he's really been in that type of environment.
Like, SoFi is so big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say that, because maybe if he's staying home and he's now home alone, I think I have the perfect product for you, partner.
Really?
Casey, do you have our new sponsor that we hooked up this week?
I do.
Nice. So... check this out. Does your son or daughter want to go out to heavy metal concerts that you can't attend because of other commitments? Or maybe you're too scared to go because of the type of crowd that it is?
Or maybe you just don't want to see men in their 60s trying to be in their 30s. So if you need this, call Headbangers Babysitters.
Headbangin' Babysitters is a group of hardcore metalheads from all styles of metal in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, and sometimes 60s who are willing to take your kid to that heavy metal concert you have no desire to go to.
Dude, just call me and I'll take your kid to see Metallica, Iron Maiden, Megadeth, Limp Bizkit, yeah, Judas Priest, and hell, I'll even go see Winger or even Bon Jovi without Richie Sambora, you know, like if the money's right.
With Headbanging Babysitters, you get to choose the type of questionable person you want to trust your child's life with. Choose from a wide assortment of drifters, burnouts, junkies, losers, stoners, loners, wingnuts, Hessians, guys with weird twitches, and the rest of society's rejects.
Not only will there be a 60% chance that your kid will make it home alive, but like also teach them important skills like how to kick someone in the nuts in a mosh pit and get away with it. Oh, yeah, and the art of yelling, woo, at the chick who just took off her shirt.
They can put it on their resume. Headbanging Babysitters was started back in 1996 by some long-haired dude named Kevin, who was trying to figure out a way to make a living by going to concerts.
You know, jobs go on, you know, like working for Headbanging Babysitters. It kicks ass! Woo! You know, actually, it's the first job I've had that doesn't involve wearing an orange jumpsuit or picking up trash along the freeway. But still, man, it kicks major ass!
But if you don't want to call Headbanging Babysitters, then do it for your kid. I'm sure your kid would rather see corn with a total stranger than with their dad, who might embarrass them by giving them a hug during the encore.
Dude, listen up, man. I guarantee when your kid goes to a concert with me, they won't do drugs or drink any alcohol. Unless he pays for them. Well, anyway, I always wanted to get kids home on time unless some chick with Def Leppard t-shirt wants to kiss my white snake in the parking lot. You get my drift.
So if you love your kids but not enough to take them to a concert filled with 60,000 screaming, sweaty, drunken, horny teenagers, then call Headbanging Babysitters today.
Yeah.
I might call them.
You might call them?
I might call them. I never know.
They didn't mention a number. Why didn't... They were too stoned to give the phone number. What happened? They need to work on their advertising, I think.
I think so, too. Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, have fun tonight.
Yeah. I think it's going to be great. It's going to be blast. I mean, I really can't wait. I really can't. It's going to be so excited.
Nice.
Because this is music right up my alley on every single band. Every single band. I know all the words. I know all the songs and everything, you know. So, yeah, it's going to be
cool.
Fun.
Very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, it's been an awful lot of fun. So, should we play the game then, or...
Let's play.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Let's see.
Does Casey have one?
And now, the game show that leaves Casey absolutely unprepared for the game itself. Quiz me. Quiz you.
I thought you were going to say something about cheese.
No, however, that would have been good. In all honesty, though, there's really not a whole lot happening. I've been, like, scrolling through the news feed to, like, see what I could crack a joke on, and it's all really lame. It's all just, like, talk about Batgirl and how, like, Warner Brothers doesn't know what they're going to do. And
oh, yeah. Kevin Smith has been on that, too, like, ripping Warner Brothers apart for canceling that right. versus not doing The Flash. You know, because of with Ezra Miller and everything, all the problems.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's just been kind of a lot of that. A lot of reboots coming back online. That's not really much fun either. It's just constant redos. Oh, we just live in this weird loop.
Yeah.
Where we're like, wow, things were really good in the 90s. We should just redo all the generations up until then.
Yeah. You know my excuse is? It's August.
It's August.
Yeah, that's all I got. It's August.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's August.
All right, well.
Yeah. All right, well, we got intern Christopher out there. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right.
That was a little bit of a gurgle.
So because it was National Dog Day, I think it was yesterday, if I remember correctly, we have some dog trivia.
I might actually know this.
Yay! Let's start off with question number one, then. What is the most common health problem in dogs?
Forest. Joint pain.
No.
Oh.
Nia. Eye blindness.
No.
That's what I was gonna
say. Casey. Diabetes?
No.
Forest. Parvo.
No.
It's a thing.
It is a thing, but that usually kills
Sean?
The dog.
Worms.
No.
Right,
it has to deal with getting big.
Overweight?
Forest. Heart
attack.
No.
Oh. Nia.
Nia.
Obesity.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Something she got
big.
One.
Wow.
Woo!
Me right. in the lead.
Question number two.
Okay.
Greyhounds can run up to how many miles per hour?
Forest.
Sean.
Forest.
40.
No, but that's pretty close, though.
I would say 25.
25? No. Whoa. No. Forest is closest.
Yeah. 40? Really? That fast?
Casey?
32. No. Up.
Wait, what was the question?
How fast can a greyhound run?
Sean?
35.
No. Go higher than Forrest.
Oh, okay. Forrest.
Oh, wow.
Forrest.
45.
No, a little lower.
Oh,
Sean.
Sean.
42.
No, a little higher. Nia.
Nia, 43.
No.
Fuck.
There's only one number, Casey.
44.
Yes.
Damn.
Oh,
that is
man.
Extremely specific.
I love it when we go rapid fire like that. It's so fun. All right, question number three. What was the most popular dog name in 2020?
Wow.
I don't know. Sean.
Sean.
Coco.
No.
I mean. Forrest.
Forrest.
Kobe.
No.
Casey.
Casey.
Elsa.
No.
Elsa.
Forrest.
Forrest.
Biden.
No. It's more of a feminine name. It's a name you hear more with feminines.
Sean.
Sean.
Trump.
No.
Oh. I thought you said
Nia,
that.
Nia, you have a guess before you give it up?
Ivanka. Ivanka.
Lucy.
No, it's right. Bella.
Bella.
Oh,
Bella.
Okay. All right.
Bella. Mm-hmm. All right. Question number four.
Everyone's like, yeah.
All right. What is the most commonly taught command for dogs?
Casey.
Casey.
Sean.
Sit.
That's correct.
Ooh.
That was a quick. She was on it. She was like.
Yeah, she was.
Ding. Did the little sass. She's like, I know this.
All right. Question number five.
Had the finger
in the United.
Huh?
In the United States, the leading authority on dogs is called the AKC. What does it stand for?
Casey.
Casey?
American Kennel Commission.
No.
Forrest.
That's two out of the three words, though.
American Kennel Club.
That is correct.
That's it.
They're a club.
Almost had it. Missed it by that much. All right, question number six.
I love the fact we all did that at the same time.
All right. What was the name of Sony's robotic dog released in 1999?
Oh, God, what was that?
1999.
Was it a movie or a toy?
It's a toy.
It's oh,
toy.
It's that white thing.
That's so racist.
Well, you know. Oh, yeah.
I know what the, yeah.
Forrest.
Forrest?
Robopup.
No.
Okay, that's what I would have named it.
Casey.
Sean.
Casey.
Sparky.
No. Sean.
Dynomutt.
No.
Bella.
Bella.
Bella. Bella.
Nia, you got a guess before I reveal it?
Robo 3000.
No, it's Ibo.
Okay. I was so close.
Not really. Question number six. Seven. Yeah, we're on seven. All right. What percentage of all dogs actually sleep in their owner's beds?
Sean.
Sean.
40.
No. Pretty close, though.
Oh, dang. I was going to go lower. 33.
No. Nope.
Higher.
Higher.
It's crazy.
Between Sean and Forrest?
No. Above Sean.
Above Sean. Nia.
Nia.
52.
No. Lower than Nia, higher than Sean. Casey, you got a guess?
48.
No. A little lower.
Forrest.
Nia.
Forrest.
44.
No.
Sean.
Nia. Nia first, then Sean.
45.
That is correct.
Yes.
She got another one. She's doing so well.
Red hot.
It's two questions. That's a new record.
I never win these things. I'm not even winning, but.
Question number eight. Actually, you're tied with Casey, so. Who had a hit song and album of the same name called Diamond Dogs?
Forrest.
Forrest.
Bowie.
That is correct.
Nice pull, brother.
Yeah.
Woo!
Nice.
Jinx. All right, question number nine. Hagrid from Harry Potter has a dog. What's the dog's name?
Sean.
Do it, Nia. Do it.
Sean.
Oh, you have it or no?
No.
Fluffy.
No.
It's not Fluffy?
No, it's not.
But that's a three-headed dog, yeah?
But yeah, that's the three-headed
dog.
But Hagrid's own dog.
Just like sleep.
Oh, shit.
Anyone have any guesses?
I know what it is, though, now. It's got to go around the room, though.
Nope, I don't.
No, no.
I don't kill it.
No, Sean?
Fang.
That is correct. Finally on the board. Good job. All right, last question number 10. Which breed of dog is a particular favorite of the Queen of England?
Ooh, Forrest.
Forrest.
Corgi?
That is correct.
Yay! Each other 10
wait,
of them.
Wait, wait, wait. So who tied and who won?
I think Forrest won.
Damn. Good job.
Thank you.
I love this drum beat. Bah, bah. Mm. Bah. Bah.
Alrighty, guys. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Twitter, Instagram is at Your Weekly Dose 1. Also, guys, don't forget to listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. And then, of course, we're here live on Saturday. And also on Lime City Radio. We love those guys out there at noon from Wednesday through Friday afternoons. And, of course, again, live here at 1 p.m. Nia, go ahead, give us your accolades.
My Instagrams, I have three of them. Nia. He just rolls his eyes. I don't have any social media, okay, besides this. Nia, Caitlin Ketstever, Ketstever Studios, and TikTok, the Passion Project series.
Hey, I'm wrapping up the fundraiser for my first feature. Check out Instagram, Free Lunch the Movie, or supportourstory.com/freelunch if you want to help support us. I'd appreciate it.
Woo! And I am still out of Facebook jail. Been too busy to be getting into problems, you know?
Fair enough.
But you can find me at KCN Summers.
Hey, once again, guys, if you want to find me, Sean, on any of the social media, just go to Sean R. Unplugged. And once again, if you guys enjoyed the show, don't forget to tell your friends about us because we can't grow this show without you. So please help us spread the word about the show. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell your neighbor, tell your dogs.
Yes.
Dogs!
They'll respond too. Because damn it,
we dare tell their doggy friends.
Exactly. All right, guys, till next week. Take care.
So long.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.